and elusive wildcats making a comeback across New England. As Connecticut Public Radio's Patrick Scahill reports, bobcats are returning to the region following decades of conservation and forest regrowth. And now that the wildcats are bouncing back, biologists are seeking to learn more about where the bobcats live and what they're doing.
I'm at a lab in northwest Connecticut, standing next to a bobcat. Its bright eyes and black tufted ears are separated from me only by the metal grill of a large carrier. She's sleepy, but waking up.
So that's just her way of telling us to back away.
That morning, Jason Hawley, a wildlife biologist with the Connecticut Department of Energy and Environmental Protection, got a phone call. It was from a coyote trapper who'd accidentally caught this bobcat. Lately, Hawley's been putting out the word to trappers. If you catch a bobcat, don't release it. Instead, call his team.
So we sent two people over to Lebanon. They drugged the cat, tranquilized it, put it in our carrier that we use. They're basically like a kennel. They stay pretty calm in there.
Hawley's with the Connecticut Bobcat Project, a study entering its second year with the goal of tracking bobcats all over the state. These wild cats are about 2 to 3 times the size of your average house cat. They're elusive and quick, and as sightings go up, Hawley says lots of people confuse them with mountain lions. In addition to its tufted ears, one of this cat's defining features is its short bobbed tail. Hawley's project seeks to learn more about the hidden lives of these cats, examining diet, fertility, and how bobcats act in the wild, and more in our backyard.
Our bobcats in more urban areas using different habitat or different resources, and are they using it differently? Are they using it at different times of the day? Are they moving at different times?
Today's bobcat is starting to wake up from its transport slumber. So before biologists can work on it, it needs to be redrugged. Hawley and his two assistants administer a sedative through a long syringe pole.
Good.
After about 15 minutes, the cat is under.
She out?
Pretty darn good.
Hawley pulls the bobcat out of the carrier and places it on a long metal table. Scientists remove a few bloated ticks and a small molar to get the cat's age. The head and neck are measured, there's a DNA sample, and the cat is ear tagged and fitted with a GPS collar.
You know, most people think of bobcats as, like, you know, needing woods and living out in the middle of nowhere, but I mean, we're finding they're very adaptable animals.
So far, the project has collared more than 80 cats, tracking bobcats through rural forests and even one in Connecticut's biggest city.
It's pretty amazing. I mean, he'll go right into almost downtown Bridgeport and use some of the parkland that they have in there.
Regionally, sightings are also on the rise. Vermont wildlife officials say bobcat populations are healthy and well distributed, and numbers are also up in Maine, increasing alongside the bobcat's bigger cousin, the Canada lynx. Back in Connecticut, Hawley says bobcats, which in the mid-20th century were subject to a bounty, can now be seen in all towns. He says location data they're getting from those GPS collars is helping to pinpoint den sites, letting field biologists examine bobcat kittens in the wild, creatures that otherwise would be nearly impossible to find. And all that GPS data also provides something else, insight into bobcat personalities, like another cat he tagged in southern Connecticut.
His home range was just sort of this vertical strip along the Connecticut River, and he would actually go out to islands in the river, like swimming out in the islands. Most people, you know, think cats don't want to swim. So they're very interesting animals, and they definitely have personalities.
As for the cat I met, it was released the next day, right back where that coyote trapper accidentally picked it up. Hawley says she'll probably have her first litter this spring. So if all goes well with her collar, it's possible biologists will see this cat again. This time with kittens. Patrick Scahill, Connecticut Public Radio.